brought to you by Penguin.
You People by Nikita Lalwani, read by Vinita Rishi.
Part 1.
Nia.
There he is, in memory, standing behind the bar of the restaurant, pouring that vile drink he used to love, a sickly martini from the long bottle with those big empty letters on the label. Kind eyes, imperious too. The leather trench coat all the way to the floor, its seedy sheen reflected somehow on his face. There is the face itself, angular, the brown depth of his colouring, black kinks of hair rippling to his shoulders like a soft perm, the bizarre gold hoop in the right ear. The high-low voice is there, insinuating itself through twists and turns like mercury in a barometer when he speaks, taking the temperature of things, divining the climate. All of this distracting the eye from his looks, which are striking, exceptional even. You would probably have to call him beautiful. She is right there in the same memory, about to reply, but a bit more blurred around the edges. It is likely that she was dressed up. She wanted a job, of course. So it would have been the black jersey dress, tight on the bust, hemline a bit too short, and inappropriate shoes. The chunky maroon creepers with massive silver buckles. Aiming for voluptuous, but without quite the correct regalia of accessories. One of three outfits she was circulating in those days, and the only one that could aim to satisfy the criteria of smart in the advert. Sometimes, she would wear a crimson cashmere shawl with it, lifted from her mum's cupboard, drape it over her shoulders, a bit of red lipstick to match, as though she was going to a formal winter event, like a prom in the 50s or something. She can't remember if she had the shawl on, but she remembers the feeling well. That she looked confusing. That he was eyeing her with a curiosity that he didn't bother to conceal. Mostly, she can watch the two of them in this memory without rushing ahead, slip inside the vein that funnels the language between them, and marvel that it is happening, pretend she does not know what will come next.
"I do apologize," he says, offering her a cigarette. "Would you like some tea, coffee, a glass of wine? Just do let me know, la. Some water?"
She's shaking her head. The attention is intimidating.
"Nah, I'm good," she says. "Don't worry."
And that is when she first experiences his smile. She's just 19, lying her way through the world, but telling him the truth for some reason. And he's 33, 34 max, giving it the big patron act in the restaurant, lighting up a cigarette and funneling the smoke through the side of his mouth as he raises his eyebrows and regards her at leisure. Tack. The palatal click of satisfaction as he taps the ash into a square vessel of smoked brown glass. His fingernails are fastidiously clean, and she's curling her own away from sight in response. He's good. Surely he is good. He's the altruist we need on each street corner. The one who's got your back. Can help you stand up after the fall. He's wise. King Solomon, capable of enough empathy and hubris to decide who deserves the baby. He is a walking set of choices and consequences. Love thy neighbour, the greater good, take your pick. This image of him, of them, filters and echoes through her memory. There are 1,000 iterations or more. She can never be certain of its imprint or impact. She tells herself the story as it unfolds from this moment. She does it to understand him, and so, to believe in his cure. Sean. Sean is walking in Archway, cheered by the discordant heat as he moves alongside the massive dual carriageway outside his estate of residence. He stops at the traffic lights, lets the buses sear their crimson optimism onto his retina. Colour, his mother would say, brings joy, wonder, power. He can see the kid who comes with his mama every day on the way to school. He fascinates him, this kid. He has long brown curls that bounce to his shoulders, pale flushed skin. He rides a beat-up blue scooter. 4 years, is he, or five? Lifting his...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?